Bourne Show. It's our new time, 3 p.m. Eastern. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz, and Charlie.
Yes.
How's it going?
Good, good. We are joined today by our friend. He's off camera. You can't see him, but my son is in the building.
Yeah, he is. I won't say anything, but it appears he's out with an upper body injury.
He's not Austin Matthews. We can talk about it. It's
okay. Is he allowed to tell us why?
Oh, you got the camera going back to Charlie over there. Charlie has suffered a Matthew Nyes like head bonk. There he is. He got a piece, Charlie. You're on.
I'm nervous. We got a studio audience of one today.
We do. He legitimately took a tumble down some friend's stairs, bonked his head. So this keeps him from being overactive.
You know, an hour with us will make sure that he'll never get into television ever again.
And it'll guarantee that he goes back to school because it'll be a lot more entertaining.
He's going to wish he didn't hit his head after this hour.
Well, we hope the hour goes faster for you than it will for Charlie on our show. Lots to get into. Of course, the Edmonton Oilers take a commanding 3-1 series lead in Game 4. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Jason Greger, host of the Jason Greger Show on Sportsnet 1440 in Edmonton. Of course, it comes with a price, and that is Zach Hyman out. Mm-hmm. And before we get started, just a reminder, Real Kipper and Bourne. Brought to you by Bet365. Good to go, Sammy.
Great job, buddy.
All right.
You guys, by the way, are we just going to start the show and not mention that you guys are dressed identically?
Did you not get the memo of Real Kipper and Bourne hoodie day?
You know, I wore mine on the weekend, so it wasn't clean today. Otherwise, I definitely would.
It was just a little, didn't feel like doing, you know, a nice outfit today, so I put on the old hoodie.
And... Well, how dare you slander that shirt?
I'm joking. When I saw him walk in, I was like, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Outside of the Edmonton Oilers being one game away from returning to the Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
Lots of concern about Zach Hyman, who left the game midway through the first period with a collision with Mason Marchment.
Yeah.
It was deemed not great at the end of the game, but word came officially from the Edmonton Oilers head coach Knobloch that he will be out. And heading to surgery today.
Yeah. You know, these two guys, I believe, were teammates of the Marlies back in the day, know each other well. So I don't think it's like it's just a fluke, unfortunate incident. Guy trying to throw a hard hit and wrist kind of gets tangled up. He's had surgery. He will miss the remainder of the season. Feels like he knew immediately.
Clipped him. Just a clip.
Yeah.
Jammed him up probably when he was trying to get out of the way, made the contact and pushed in on the hand a little bit.
Yeah. Tough to know exactly, but that there without him is significant.
This is their best overall power forward.
Yeah, it is. I mean, a year ago, he scored 70 goals between regular season and playoffs. You know, this year, the stat I like the most, Michael Amato writes for us here at Sportsnet, tweeted that he has 111 hits in playoffs. His career high in a full regular season is 117. This guy has been laying it on the line for them.
And if playing you go it on the line, against, you say.
Oh, yeah, Rogers, what's up? And if you go up against Florida, like your most physical, consistently physical forward, that's a massive blow.
Yeah, that does shift my ex. I think the Oilers are good enough to beat they got to get through Dallas first, but if they end up beating Florida in the final, I think they're good enough to beat them without Hyman. But I think that does change my thought on how it could go. Like, that is a big-time blow for them.
It's a big time blow for us, and I'm not writing off Dallas or Carolina for that matter. But I was really, looking forward to
best on best,
power on power, and Hyman was a big part of that to go face the Bennetts and the Kachuks of the world here. And I can't. Who's coming out of the bullpen?
Yeah,
Jeff Skinner.
Arvidsson.
Well, Arvidsson was in last night because Ekholm couldn't go.
But he's going to step up. His role will be elevated now. And
for sure.
Skinner coming in.
You know, it's interesting. It's going to put quite the spotlight on the offseason work they did in choosing Arvidsson and Skinner as the guys to go out and get. Mm-hmm. You know, when they lost Holloway and McLeod and guys like that. So we'll see how that goes. The you know, they can't be without Ekholm and Hyman. They got through last night. They look great. Beyond great last night. But
I did not think I could ever see the Edmonton Oilers team as is without Ekholm. I cannot write them off now just because Hyman's gone.
I know. I was talking to Billy Duke upstairs, big Oilers fan, falls it close, and he said that Oilers fans, you know, he's pretty close to the community there, don't, when Ekholm comes back, they don't even want to break up the D pairs. They want to go 11-7. That's how much they've liked. You know, he called Stetcher the nurse whisperer.
Yeah.
You know, like, they love what's happening with these pairs, and the guys, Wallman's been great. Klingberg's been very good.
You can't find a guy.
Think of those names that you heard saying.
You can't find a guy that's struggling. You can't find Kulak's a guy who does not stand out. They've all been stars in their own right. Look at Nugent Hopkins and what he has been able to do down the stretch here. He's as good as anybody.
That play he makes to Perry last night.
Did you see the stat I put in the lineup there? Players with multiple points in four straight games to begin a conference final. Wayne Gretzky, Cam Neely, Craig Janney, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
God.
Yeah.
You know, good. Yeah. So they got their best guys at their best. Yeah. And the D are playing extremely well. It's crazy watching this Dallas team. Dallas finished third in the regular season in goals per game. Then they added Mikko Rantanen with a month ago in the season. And over three games against that Oilers D-core, minus Ekholm, they scored twice.
Okay. Let's bring in the expert, the guy that can follow up everything we just talked about and add to it better than most right now, Jason Greger. He hosts his own show on 1440 in Edmonton. Thanks for joining us, Jason. Let's just start with, you know, twofold. You're loving the fact that the Oilers are a game away from a Stanley Cup final, but how much of a damper and a concern is the Zach Hyman news on top of a commanding 3-1 lead?
Yeah, it definitely put a little bit of a sour taste from the players in the victory last night. They obviously knew it was serious last night after the game, and comes out today, it's official, he's done for the playoffs. And it's a huge blow. Like, Zach Hyman might be, you know, one of the best. If he's not the best, he's definitely top three or four forecheckers in the NHL. He does a lot of things to disrupt the opposition. He can score goals. You know, the guy's been a hitting machine this year in the playoffs, 111 hits already. He kills penalties. He does everything. So it will be a big loss. But, you know, the Edmonton Oilers have eight forwards with four more goals in the playoffs. They've got 18 skaters with a goal. They're getting depth production everywhere. And this just means, you know, Trent Frederick, Evander Kane, big physical guys who I think can fill the physical void. Kasperi Kapanen's played really well, good skater, very physical actually in the playoffs. He's had some huge hits. So I think they have enough guys to do it. And now they'll bring in Jeff Skinner, who, you know what, has been sitting there. He's only ever played one NHL playoff game, and that was game one against the Kings, and the Oilers played like absolute garbage. So he'll probably be like, oh, that wasn't very fun. But I think it'll be better than that. And then you throw in Matthias Ekholm, who I think there's a very good chance he'll play tomorrow in Dallas. He has been begging to play, and I think they've been ultra cautious with him. And so, you know, you bring him back, but where do they play him? Like, I don't know if you want to split up the Klingberg-Wallman pair, and I guess you could split up Bouchard and Kulak, but I don't know if you want to play Ekholm all the minutes right away. And, you know, Darnell Nurse and Stetcher have been really good. Like, the Oilers team defense, it's crazy. As much as there's a focus on their offense, as it should be when you got McDavid and Draisaitl, the Oilers have shut down Vegas and Dallas, the two best teams in the NHL off the rush this year in the regular season. Vegas had three goals in that series, and Dallas has one. Like, they've shut them right down 5-on-5.
So to what do you attribute that to? Because from the outside, when you look at the Oilers' D-core going to playoffs, it's like, okay, they got McDavid and Draisaitl. We know that. You know, they've got these guys, and they're going to be in any game. But, boy, they're going to make some mistakes. And you watch them in the regular season, and they make some mistakes. Where have they gone? How is everyone so much more consistent right now?
Well, they were really good last year in the playoffs. And I think because it's funny. Connor McDavid averaged 1.68 points per game last year. And everyone's like, oh, my God, he was unreal. He's at 1.6 this year, and no one's even talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's basically the same. It's just they have way more other guys producing, so that helps, so it doesn't look as much. Their power play doesn't get any power plays. It's still 29%, but they've only scored 11 goals because they're barely on the power play. So defensively, they were good last year. Like, Evan Bouchard, 3 years in a row, has said, you know what? I'm not nonchalant. I'm not going to go back to puck slow. The guy is one of the best players under pressure with the puck on a stick in the NHL. Like, his small little six-foot passes that most guys would cringe making, he makes it, and you're kind of like, and he doesn't even look
like
he's breathing.
Cabrera, he has no pulse.
Yeah, it's very weird, but he doesn't have Ekholm, and everybody thought Bouchard would fall off. Bouchard's probably played better, which shows you he doesn't need Ekholm to play well. Brett Kulak's always been a playoff performer. I think the biggest improvement's actually been Darnell Nurse. Darnell Nurse has been very consistent because Nurse doesn't play with Drysdale McDavid, right? So some people, when they look at just goal four share, they forget that, well, of course, Bouchard's going to have a good goal four share because his offensive numbers are great. Now, he hasn't been on the ice very much for goals against, but if you look at minutes away from McDavid and Drysdale, which are important, in the Vegas and Dallas series, Darnell Nurse is 8 goals for, 5 goals against, and he's played 177 minutes away from those two, right? Bouchard plays a lot of minutes, but he plays more with McDavid and Drysdale, as he should, because he's the best offensive defenseman they have. So I think Nurse's play has really been a big addition because he plays the most minutes, guys, right? The guys who are on the ice the most have to play well.
You're watching and listening to Jason Gregor, host of the Jason Gregor Show on Sports 1440 in Edmonton. We are covering the Edmonton Oilers, one game away from a Stanley Cup final, a return. Just one more thing on Nurse. Is it less is more here without those minutes with Draisaitl and McDavid? There's a less tendency to try to convince people you're worth over $9 million a year?
Yeah, the biggest thing for Darnell is that because he's such a good athlete and he's a really good skater, like, there's not many defensemen that can, if you look like you've got a step on him wide, his length and speed, he's able to recover. But where it gets into trouble sometimes is in the D zone, he's rushing at guys. And he's not doing that right now. He's letting the play come to him, and very few guys can beat him off the rush just because he's such a mobile defenseman and he's so long. So you're right, Nick. He is letting the play come to him. And, of course, he'll make mistakes sometimes, but he's making way more good plays than wrong. And when Stetcher came in, you know, they played very well in the regular season. And Stetcher's I call an overachiever. That guy gives you everything he has. He's a smaller defenseman. He bucks the trend of what should be successful in today's NHL playoffs, because he's a small defenseman who doesn't bring a lot of offense. It's almost unheard of. Like, if you look at all the small defensemen, they're usually dynamos offensively. Quinn Hughes, you know, Cale Makar, others. Like, those guys are elite because they're offensive. There's very few small guys who play in the playoffs who don't bring you offense, but that's what Stetcher's done, and he's done a great job since taking over for Emberson. And him and Nurse, just, they have good chemistry, but Nurse plays a lot with Kulak, and Paul Coffey rotates his guys around a lot. Like, they played basically 5 D-men for the first 7-8 games of the playoffs, and then they put Stetcher in for Emberson, and they made more consistent pairs. But for Nurse, it's all about stay within your game and let your athleticism show and be strong and physical, and he's been a lot better in front of the net as well.
So, Jason, where are we at on Stu Skinner? You know what? One of the things, I was looking at some numbers today, one of the things the Oilers have done really well is, you know, everyone's talking about Dallas missing the net a lot. Over the course of this series, 59% of their attempts have either been blocked or missed the net, which to me means they're packing the middle and making it tough to get pucks through. I don't know if that contributes to Skinner's success, or what do you make of it? Is this always who you kind of thought he was?
Well, Stu Skinner, he's a great example of when you have a bad game in a small sample, it really skews the overall numbers. Like, Stu Skinner last year and this year had 5 games where he allowed a total of 25 goals against. He had a .798 save percentage in those games, right? And a lot of people get focused on that, and it's bad, don't get me wrong. But in his other 27 playoff games the last 2 years, he's got a .209 goals against and a .918 save percentage. Like, pretty good. Like, you look at his conference finals in 2 years, he's like top three all time. He's got a .929 and a .185 goals against the Dallas Stars, who are a really good team. So Skinner, every goalie has a weakness, Kevin Woodley tells me. And Skinner's weakness is off the rush. So what have the Oilers done? They don't give up chances off the rush.
Right.
Now, Dallas in the second period of Game 3 and the first period of Game 4 were all over the Oilers, and Skinner was the best player on the ice, and he kept him in the game. Now, in the second and third period last night, Edmonton didn't give up any chances. Skinner just had to be a regular goalie and make decent saves. So Skinner's capable of it, but Edmonton's, I don't believe, was ever built for Stu Skinner to be the savior. He makes $2.6 million. He's not paid to be the savior. He just has to be solid. And he's been solid in more games than he hasn't. But when he's had a bad game, it's been so bad that it skews his overall numbers. And that's what people look at sometimes rather than digging deeper and going on a game-by-game basis.
Jason, in terms of what you saw out of the Dallas Stars the last two games, no question that coming into the series, for good reason, the talk was about Rantanen and what he was able to do coming into the series. But outside of that, I look at that roster, and it's a good roster, and there's some really good hockey players. But I'm searching for the natural game breaker out of the Dallas Stars. But what have you seen out of the two specific games in Edmonton from them?
Well, when I look at Dallas in this series, they've been the exact team that we saw in the first two rounds. The only difference is their power play isn't saving them. Mm-hmm. I watched that Colorado series, and 5-on-5, they got crushed. But they didn't score, Colorado didn't score. Ottinger was pretty good in a few games. And then their power play saved them. Like, their power play was, what, 36%, I think, in that series? Against Winnipeg, they only had 8 goals 5-on-5. So it's funny because they were a good scoring team in the regular season. But in the playoffs, Jamie Benn's done nothing 5-on-5. Matt Duchene's done nothing. They don't have a goal, right? Wyatt Johnson has 2. Jason Robertson has 1. In this series alone, they've scored 3 goals 5-on-5. Sagan has 2, and Robertson has 1. That's it. Like, they're on milk cartons across the state of Texas right now offensively, and they're not as quick as Edmonton. And the Finn line with Roope Hintz, Granlund, and Rantanen, that was really carrying them guys in the first two rounds. I actually did a line-by-line breakdown before the series because a lot of people said Dallas had more depth. And I'm like, well, more depth in the regular season, but not in the playoffs. And I care about recent, not what happened in October, November for me when I do my analysis. And I thought Edmonton's depth would be better, and it's proven to be better. And Dallas just, they can't score, right? Like, even Rantanen has 17 points in 5 games, guys. The rest of the playoffs, like, he's done very little. In the last 7 games, he has no goals and 3 assists.
That is pretty lopsided, to say the least. You don't get to where the Oilers are, which, frankly, making it look easy, no matter who they play. Their 3 opponents that they've played have been very good defensive teams, had lots of reasons that they could have been shut down. But they're talking about that depth. Like, RNH looks like, the best version of himself at times. Corey Perry is a consistent threat. Like, they just have had some really great performances from guys beyond the guys we usually talk about.
Well, Corey Perry might be older than all of us. He just turned 40. He tied the record for most goals by a player who was 39 or older when the playoffs started. It's got 6. He had 19. Like, he's got 25 goals in his 39-year-old year. Like, it's pretty damn impressive. Nugent Hopkins, Stu Skinner, I thought, said it great. He goes, I think Nugent Hopkins in this series is the best hockey he's ever played. I heard you guys talking about at the start, his stats and what he's done, 4 multi-goal games to start a conference final. Like, hasn't happened in 37 years. Like, not even McDavid or Draisaitl, who have been out of this world in their playoffs, have done that. So, like, Nugent Hopkins' play on the Corey Perry goal last night was sublime. Asian. That was, like, Corey Perry just had to stand there. Like, I might not have gotten the position as quick as Perry, but I can put my stick on the ice. I might have been able to redirect that one in. Like, it was an unreal play by Nugent Hopkins. And he's played very well. He's a smart player. He's not an elite player, right? Like, he's very smart. He can play penalty kill. He can play the power play. He's never been a great 5-on-5 player, but he's incredibly smart. And he'll sacrifice points in the regular season to be better defensively. And I think that's a good thing on this team. But right now, he's playing great. And, like, Draisaitl's having an unreal playoffs, and so is McDavid. But Nugent Hopkins is kind of overshadowing him lately. And that's really kind of been the story of the Oilers. Nugent Hopkins will be elite. And then Stuart Skinner will have 3 shutouts in 5 games. And then Evan Bouchard will continue on a pace that only Bobby Orr has produced more. So that's how you win in the playoffs. Nick knows. Like, when the Rangers won, how many guys had unreal playoffs? As great as McDavid and Draisaitl are, and they're having great playoffs, you need 5 or 6 guys
Noonan
to do it if you want.
And Mateau. Right.
Yeah. Stephen Matteau was unreal against the Devils.
Yeah, absolutely. Just one thing on Corey Perry here. No one will ever tell you differently that it isn't Leon and Connor's dressing room. But is there a sense the last year and going into these playoffs again, how much Corey Perry is leaned on inside of that room, even by the big boys?
Oh, well, Corey Perry, I think, is the one who will have the uncomfortable conversations, right? Like, you can't play his style on the ice and not be afraid of conflict off of the ice, right? Like, he's okay. And you would know, in a room, guys, like, sometimes there has to be conflict. Like, somebody has to call somebody out. And I think the Oilers, you know, they're climbed towards where they're at now, where they're a legit cup contender for the second year in a row, and really have been for 4 years, I think. Started when they brought in Duncan Keith. And McDavid and Drysdale said, like, just learning from Duncan Keith and how he spoke to the team and how they could remain calm, as hard as it is in the playoffs to remain calm after a huge win or a devastating loss. And it started there, and Perry's come in, and I think Perry's a little bit more vocal. You know, he was one, I know last year, that there were some scenarios where, you know, he got into it with Kane that I think just calmed down things. And so you're right. I think he helps. He plays limited minutes. But Leon Draisaitl said Corey Perry's maybe the smartest player in knowing how to react in a game. When to be a dick, when to be smart, when to get in a scrum,
the turtle,
you know, when to lay a hit, when to fight. And yeah, exactly. Like, he knows how. And Draisaitl, I call him the grumpy German, right? He's a little grumpy at times. I think he really gravitates to how Perry's gamesmanship is something that it's probably underrated, I think, in the NHL now. Like, people look at the games a little bit, you know, there's not as much fighting or whatever, but intimidation and trying to get guys off their game is still there. And I think they've learned from Perry on sometimes, even Perry, like, he took a stupid penalty in Dallas, right? Like, unnecessary penalty. And he talked about it. He's like, I can't take that penalty. Even a guy who's played that many games, you'll still lose your cool sometimes. But the fact that he owns it, I think they move on.
Jason, great stuff, man. We really appreciate your time. Enjoying game 5.
Hey, boys, let's hope there's a rematch, man. We don't see it very often. Florida and Edmonton would be great.
Oh, I'm already looking forward to it. Thanks, pal.
Anytime, fellas.
Jason Gregor's show on Sports 1440 in Edmonton. It's great stuff.
Yeah. Perry is fascinating.
I saw a video of Perry today. I think it was Missing Curfew's social media account put it out. It's like his first playoff goal in 2007. I'm like, this guy's been scoring big goals in standard definition. Like, you know, the camp was like, this looks like 100 years ago.
You know, though, I think he hit on something important there that is key for dressing rooms, is having someone willing to have these hard conversations. Because you look at McKinnon. We know McKinnon, you know, the jokes about the chickpea pasta. Like, immediately guys were like, God, he's challenging everyone. You know, McDavid, we saw the dig-in clip. You know he's not afraid to give it to the guys a little if he expects more. Perry will, too. Mark Stone is a guy for Vegas, I think, who's notorious for his competitiveness. Yeah. I think neat rooms need that.
Oh, you got to.
And obviously I'm talking about the Leafs here because I'm not sure they've had it.
You got to. Everybody has to hold each other some way, shape, or form accountable.
Yeah.
Even if it's a dress code, whatever that means. Whatever it is. You cannot take your guard down in a dressing room full of 20 guys every day that you're with them, sometimes more than your family, right? And you got to stay on your toes. And some days it can be tough on some guys.
Yeah.
And because they get leaned on a little bit more than others. But it is absolutely imperative in a dressing room.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense
to me. I know we're going to.
Yeah, we're good. Let her rip.
You think a guy like Brad Marchand looks at Corey Perry and goes, thank you. You're 40. I'm a spring chicken at 37.
Yeah.
I still need to prove everybody I am very worthy of being a good player, an important player. If he's doing it for Edmonton at 40, I'm going into unrestricted free agency here.
Sure. You know, yeah, I think Perry is the outlier, but if you're Marchand, your pedigree, you can make the claim that you'll be able to do that too. Also, I don't think Perry's game was ever built on being fast, and that's part of the reason he's able to be effective as he gets older. I don't think Marchand's game was ever built on being fast either. So
competitiveness.
Competitiveness, smart, intelligence,
but like
intimidation.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
without being fighters.
You have to, yeah, Perry, I would say, has fought more in his career than Marchand has generally. But you have to want to do it still.
That's right? a big like, part of it. A lot of these older guys, like when Ryan Reeves came here to Toronto, yeah. I don't get the impression he still wanted to fight like Arbor Jacka.
But like you're he's 40, and it's like, you know, these games are so hard. Getting to training camp, going through the whole thing, so, like wanting to do it.
So
half the battle.
It is.
So Max Pacioretty, who I've got a lot of time for whatever, you know, hanging on, giving his career another chance, right? To come in and do what he did, he gave he gave everything he had.
Yep.
But he can't go to where Corey Perry and Brad Marchand are. And that's turn yourself into a complete prick. He can hit hard, but he does not have the it factor to be truly like Perry or Marchand at the end of their careers.
But I think you can make the case he was as good as those guys in playoffs this year. What do you have? 5 goals? But
he maxed out for me.
Huge goals.
He maxed out for me.
Yeah.
But if he had...
Maxed out? Sorry.
Excuse the pun.
I know you're a dad, so you had to make a dad.
Yes. He squeezed everything he could, but he didn't leave himself in a position where if you're Edmonton or Florida now with their two respective guys, it's... What do we do without him? How do we replace him?
Right.
Max didn't do that for the Leafs. He's gonna either retire or go try a PTO somewhere else. But
he doesn't want to do this anymore.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that those guys
and Sam's point,
and Sam's point of course, is that those guys will go to the end of the earth to be those type of players. Whereas Max had to kind of reinvent himself under a short period of time.
The key difference between Max Pacioretty with Brad Marchand and Corey Perry, Marchand and Perry started their careers as complete jerks.
And then
Pacioretty was kind of known as like not soft, but he was a sniper, like not really that type of guy at all.
Pacioretty, they're like, you merely adopted the darkness.
100%. We were born. Anyways, game time. All right, it's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Somebody at softball the other night asked me if I do like any like gambling stuff on our show, and I'm like, yeah, I do a segment every day. He's like, what's the read? Like, he's like, what do you have to say? And then I had to do it off by heart. Now I can do it off by heart.
Oh, you nailed it.
Yeah. So, because the guy told me back into my memory and I remembered it now. So there you go. It's only been 3 years.
3.5.
3.5 years. You know, it's only been 3.5 years. So anyways, the Eastern Conference Final gets back underway tonight. And the Florida Panthers and Carolina Hurricanes, pretty even, surprisingly. The Carolina Hurricanes are -105. The Florida Panthers are -115. So pretty close both ways there. Any lean on tonight? Feeling that it ends tonight, or
does it feel like it all went right for Carolina last game?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't it feel like it has to go perfect for them to win?
Yeah, I would think that it probably ends tonight. And looking ahead to tomorrow night for the Oilers and Stars again, Edmonton right now. If you want to get them at plus money, they are +100 tomorrow night. So I would imagine that line would probably change heading into tomorrow. Money probably come in on the Oilers. But
Dallas would even the series.
I did.
I know.
I did. I bet on that.
I hit my Oilers -1.5. I thought that was they're too good. They're just really good.
You know, like Knobloch deserves some credit.
He does.
When your team plays that structured and, you know, they were up. Going into the third period, Dallas got four shots.
Dallas could not get any second or third waves on a forecheck. It was like the old one and done.
Yeah.
Get it in, it's out. Get it in, it's coming back out.
Gregor was talking about it. They're just trying so hard. Like, it's just, it comes down
to the concept.
I know, but just the back checks and they are just
But there's
trying.
Also a freedom to their game where it doesn't feel like they're afraid to play.
Yeah.
You know, they still try to, when they have the puck, they still make plays. They still, you know.
Oh, they get good looks.
They do.
They get decent looks.
You know, and to me, that is a comfort being in these games, being in the playoffs, going deep before.
They must just feel jinxed or something because there's like a force field that the puck just won't cross the goal line.
I know. They're looking at Rantanen like you do it.
Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we're going to welcome in Brian Lawton, former NHL player, agent, general manager, broadcaster. The guy's done it all, influencing the NHL. After the break, we're going to tell you how he influences now the Western Conference Final in the NBA. Yeah, I said it. The NBA. Brian Lawton, what are you doing? We'll find out when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, Jake the Snake Schultz, Charlie, and now Brian Lawton joins us. Lots, how are you, my friend?
Doing fantastic, Kipper. How are you?
You've been a busy guy in the sports world because, I mean, we're heavily into the NHL conference final, but they're also heavily involved in the conference final in the NBA, where you participated in an actual game. Lots, you didn't put on a uniform, but you ended up playing a key role in the game the other night in Minnesota, where Oklahoma City was up 128-126. There's only a few seconds on the clock. Our Canadian hero, SGA, MVP, throws the ball out of bounds. And who catches the ball with seconds,
great hands,
with seconds on the clock, Lots? That was you.
that was me. And as my wife said, another ding-dong thing I did in public. I couldn't help myself.
But you turned yourself into an international story.
So, I don't know.
So hold on for a second. So the idea was he's throwing the ball out of bounds to kill the clock. Did you cross the line on the court to actually catch the ball?
You know what? The whole thing was...
Answer the question.
No, I absolutely did not. The whole thing was in slow motion. It was so bizarre. It was an incredible basketball game. I have to say that first. OKC was amazing. The Timberwolves didn't have their best stuff, but their bench was crazy. But it was so physical that I'm sitting on the court. I'm sitting in dead center on the court, essentially next to the two announcers. Yeah, it's not a, you know, they're great seats. A friend of mine had invited me last minute. Of course, I went. I'm watching this unfold. It's very frustrating. It's a super physical game. It looks like a hockey game. And it comes down to the last play. And SGA, who was amazing, drops 40, dominates the game after being not so good the game before. He somehow comes up with the final rebound to prevent the Timberwolves from having a chance to tie or win the game. And he falls down. He heaves the ball as far as he can while he's laying down. And as soon as he threw it, it was coming right at me. It's just like, oh my gosh, he's laying at the baseline and I'm at just slightly over half court. Think 4 or 5 feet past the center of the basketball court. And I can see Hartenstein, however you say his name, humongous guy, 7'2", I believe, running as hard as he can to try to catch him. And I jump up from my seat. I never crossed the line and looked at my feet. It was in such slow motion. I remember thinking, I have my phone in my right hand. This ball is coming right at me. What should I do? So, of course, I do the stupidest thing I can. I start to move closer to it because I want to touch the ball so the game doesn't end.
They were pissed at you.
Oh, my gosh. They were so upset. Nobody really knew what happened. I swear to everyone, I looked down at my feet before or as this is all happening. I could see the ball coming. I could see the clock right behind it. I could see it ticking down in slow motion. And I know for a fact it was at like 0.6 or 7. As I catch this ball, essentially with one hand, because I have my phone in my other hand. So I touch it, hits me right in the chest, and I close it with the phone. Right. And I'm like, oh my God, what do I do now? This guy's running at me. Shoot, right by me. I thought he was going to hit me. And I'm literally like getting ready to brace for getting hit by this guy. He runs by, the horn never goes off, and everybody goes crazy because nobody really knows what happened. Except I know that when I'm looking at the clock, it said 0.6. So I hold the ball, the ref comes over. Now I think I'm in trouble. I don't know why. I always thought, you know, if the ball comes out of bounds, of course you could catch it. As soon as the ref comes over, he wants the ball back now. I say, hey, man, sorry. I think it was going to hit my wife in the face. I had to catch it.
Great thinking.
I didn't know what to say. I totally moved forward to catch it. I knew none of that was true. The guy looked at me and he kind of laughed. He goes, don't worry about it. I saw the whole thing. You were out of bounds. The ball, you know, now they're, I don't know the rules in the NBA like we do in the NHL. They go by
That's
plane.
Hilarious.
And the guy literally said, no problem. SGA comes over and he's clapping his hands and he's pointing at me. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, what's this guy coming over here to berate me or what? And I can hear the ref. They're only like 6 or 8 feet away from me. They're arguing. He touched the ball. He can't do that, you know. But they were making it sound like I ran on the court. I did not run on the court.
All right. Well, they'll forgive you. They'll forgive you.
Well, anyhow, the punchline was SGA is like kind of chirping me. And then he listened to the ref. And then he looks at me and he starts pointing at his head.
Yeah, we saw that.
And I can hear him yelling, smart play. Like right there. He's looking at me and he's yelling, smart. Smart play. And I was like, oh, I try, man, for the home team. And that was all I said. That was the whole thing.
Hey, just,
and it would have been so epic if the Timberwolves could
just
have come
back right there. Out of curiosity, I think you got invited. You mentioned you got invited, but like if you didn't, how much is a playoff ticket on the floor in the NBA?
I do usually go to at least one game every round. I think maybe I'd been to 3 or 4 games prior to that one. I always sit on the floor. I generally sit right next to the Timberwolves bench because I have a friend that owns 4 tickets there, and him and I are buddies, and we go to the game and I buy the tickets, and they have progressively moved to a very, very expensive amount. So much that this round I went to the game before that and paid for it. My buddies said, I'll just make up numbers. But he said, oh, it's like 4,500. And I was like, oh, I'll do that. Sure. I'll go for 4,500. We go to the game and I always tease them every time I go. I go, hey man, do you mind if I resell these and don't actually go? Before we go in? I say it every time and he gets mad and says, no, I've told you, you can never sell. I'm like, okay, go to the game. Okay. Well, you know, I'll send you a check. How much do I owe? He's like 9,000. I was like, what? He's like 9,000. I told you they were 4,500.
Oh, for the pair.
Each. Yeah. Each. Wow.
So anyhow, so I was resolved not to go to the next game. And a friend of mine calls me and says, hey, I can't make it. You know, why don't you come be my guest? It was very kind of him. I did not pay for that ticket. And I appreciate it. It was an amazing basketball game. I was super happy to be there. Super impressed with OKC. Minnesota didn't play well, but it just reminded me of what I thought we would see last night, quite frankly. We saw some of it, but not as much between Dallas and Edmonton, as we'll get your viewers back on to talking about what you guys do every day. Hockey,
yes.
Where you had this massive desperation by these teams in the NBA.
Well, we'll turn also the page. Yeah, we'll turn the page and turn it to the hockey, because it is happening right now. There's a very real chance of a rematch between Florida and Edmonton. Do you see any way that we don't end up with last year's final?
Well, of course there's a way, but it's not looking promising. I was just kind of looking at, you know, how these teams are doing in records. I think Edmonton is 11-4 in these playoffs, which would be a great run at any time during the regular season, never mind the playoffs. And Florida, on the other hand, is like 11-5. Dallas is practically 500 now. They had that incredibly challenging series against Colorado, which I'm sure they felt very fortunate to win. So, you know, the best two teams, in my opinion, So far, it's clearly Edmonton and Florida. And if they do play, it feels like it would be apropos. The thing that fans have to understand is that the playoffs are not always linear. You know, Toronto gave Florida all they could. Just, you know, flat out, almost beat them. And yet Carolina comes along and it's looked like it's been a challenge. It could be the most difficult thing to wrap your head around because you're always trying to evaluate your team and see where they're really at. But it's been a bit of a strange playoff, in my opinion. I thought Vegas would give Edmonton a better series. I thought LA started off strong against Edmonton and gave them a better series, but faded. But a lot of information to digest from these playoffs so far.
Lots. I'm the first one to say I was just dead wrong that that the Oilers couldn't advance without Matthias Ekholm, and so far they've proven me and I think a lot of people wrong here. But can they do it twice now without Zach Hyman the rest of the way?
Certainly gets a lot challenging. Sounds like Zach, you know, had wrist surgery, which was very bizarre because I was watching that play and I really couldn't quite figure out what happened in the moment. Kind of makes sense when you know the final outcome. But can they advance without him? Boy, I'm with you, Kipper. I would not have guessed with how their blue line played in regular season that without Matthias Ekholm, they'd be able to be this dominant. It's right. A lot of credit, in my opinion, to obviously all the players, their decor in particular, but to their coaching staff too. It's really been a tale of two seasons for Edmonton, the way that they have played defensively. Offensively, they are what they are. Nobody ever questions that. But their ability to come together as a team at the right time, Darnell Nurse kind of staying within the lines, Evan Bouchard doing exactly what he's done the previous 2 years. Wallman has certainly been good. Brett Kulak has been out of this world. And then I think John Klingberg kind of jumping back in after not really being physically prepared enough, not by any doing of his own, just by virtue of the injury he was coming off, where he really couldn't compete in the regular season and just needed more time. So the resurgence of him coming in and playing the way he has been a massive, massive game changer for Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been crazy as you watch these teams get towards the final. You know, Edmonton waiting for Ekholm, kind of getting stronger, right? Like Frederick and Kane kind of got better. Like the Oilers have gained power as it's gone on. And it feels like for the first time here, losing Hyman could go in the opposite direction. Florida's kind of the same way on the other side, right? Like, you know, as playoffs have gone on, they got Ekblad back and they kind of found their way back into this thing. When you look at Florida, do you see any reason to think that they, I don't want to say that they're worse, but that they aren't the favorite? Do you think that Edmonton would in fact be a favorite if they went in against them? Probably not.
I don't think Edmonton would be the favorite by virtue of Florida is the champs. They haven't done anything to change that.
Yeah.
They had a very tough series, as you guys know, against Toronto. And yet when the really critical moments came up, they made it look almost kind of pedestrian,
right?
Rudimentary, elementary, however you want to say it. It just, I was expecting this explosion and we never really got it. Whenever they got really challenged, I felt like they had another gear to respond. So I don't know how you could say that Florida wouldn't be the favorites.
Right.
Hey, Lots, it's not too late to get a ticket along the glass tonight in Carolina, and maybe you can influence that game as well. I mean, it's a bigger challenge with the glass being tall and all of that, but you're on a roll.
this basketball is, I've always been a basketball fan. And I love glass seats. We've all been to games on the glass, but there's something bizarre about if we could just literally step out of the stands onto the ice. It's a very bizarre feeling when you go to a basketball game.
If anybody can do it, now it's you, my friend. Hey, this was awesome. Thanks for joining us, Lots.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That is Brian Lawton, former first pick overall. Agent, general manager, executive with the Tampa Bay Lightning. The man has done it all.
Front row, on the court, NBA playoff, conference final tickets.
Yeah.
That's a tough seat.
My dream is a courtside ticket.
Just one time.
That's one time, baby. I just love to sit courtside. I don't know. It just feels like the number one in the game experience for a sporting event.
So at Madison Square Garden, when we were Rangers, like we just show up and the ushers or, you know, the security guys would just literally fold a chair out for us on the floor. And I went to Michael Jordan's
Pardon?
I went to Michael Jordan's comeback game at Madison Square Garden.
55.
The double nickel.
Yeah. Wearing the old shoes that made his feet bleed.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
There's
about five
crazy.
Of us. And we were right beside Phil Jackson and the Bulls, I think.
It's the most Michael Jordan thing in the world that he was able to just be like, just so you guys know, just to put you on notice.
Let me tell you.
And it is like the ultimate coolness being on the floor.
Yeah. I've been second row. I can't say I've ever sat court.
That's really close.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Did you touch the ball?
No one threw it at me. You know,
our boy Josiah Bosch does a bunch of stuff for Sportsnet. Texted me a screenshot of Lots. Mm-hmm. He is behind the line.
He's behind the line.
Totally behind
the line. But he's off the vertical plane. It's the vertical plane.
He's totally exonerated by this screenshot.
Was that NBA investigation over?
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not like the NHL with offsides. You know, it's the plane. It's the plane. He could have had the hands inbound.
Let me get this in because tomorrow we will be back on the air from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
As we will come in for a Leaf Hour edition because General Manager Brad Tree Living will address the media tomorrow at 10. So we will be on the air at 2 Eastern tomorrow.
2 is early. That's a routine changer.
Jamie, quickly, what do you expect out of Brad Tree Living tomorrow?
I just got to get this off my chest a little bit that I have the utmost respect for Brad Tree Living. I think he does a great job. Love all this. It's ridiculous. He hasn't talked yet.
Totally agree.
The team sent out everyone to take the slings and arrows, the bullets, stand out there when the emotions are high and everyone's calling for change and boom, 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 everyone, human body shield. I mean, I know he had a thing in Calgary or whatever, but it's been 11 days.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
That ticks you off too?
Sam? Yeah, he should have 100% been there with Keith Pally.
It doesn't even make me mad. It's just, am I out of line? I mean, like, is this not ridiculous?
Let the emotions cool down a little bit.
Yeah, everyone stop paying attention now.
Bingo.
Oh, I know. But to me, that's like, okay, all the human shields are dead. Let me run out there. I don't know. I don't like it.
I think it's fair.
So in other words, there's nothing he's going to say tomorrow. Well, that's just it, I think. Yeah.
There's not Sam much. Bennett. That's a good concern.
No, he can't say
I know.
That. He's going to say they're going to do their best to get Mitch signed. If he has interest, I'm sure. Yeah, we're going to talk to him, and his people are going to talk to our people, and we'll see if there's something there. But, you know, that's up to him at the end. He's a free agent.
What do you think the fatal flaw of this team is? How are you going to change the accountability in this organization that seems to be lacking? Like, there's questions I want to hear him answer, but he's great at saying a lot and saying nothing. He's one of the best in the world.
Can we send you down there to ask some questions?
I don't think they'll let me.
I'd be nervous if you went.
Should I go? I'll go.
No.
Can they give me, if Leaf PR is listening,
a press hat and like a derby with
when they're escorting you out the building.
I would love to go. So if Leaf PR is listening, hit me up with a pass. I'll go down and ask a couple questions.
There you go. I'm glad. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. And there is still questions that need answering. But I just think it's been way too long since
All right.
Then.
Yeah. Well, we'll hear from Brad Tree Living tomorrow morning. And we will have it covered for you on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show starting 2 p.m. Eastern. Quick hour here.
Quick hour.
How'd Charlie do? You think he still likes me?
He nailed it. He only dropped his fidget spinner once. Not
get
bad.
Get over here. Run over here and say hello.
Come on, get over here.
Wave.
Whoa. There's the real star, the real Kipper and Bourne Show right there, Charlie. Our thanks to Jason Greger and Brian Lawton. Florida Panthers, Carolina Hurricanes, game 5 tonight.
All right.
Don't change the channel.